Well, if you have had a virtual doctor's appointment in the last few months instead of an in-person one, you know things have changed in the world of healthcare because of the pandemic. The telehealth boom, though, is just one of those things. For more, we're joined by Kaiser Health News Chief Washington Correspondent Julie Rovner. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, let's start with telehealth. Is it here to stay even once we're all vaccinated and comfortable going back into the doctor's office in person?
Well, it certainly looks like it. One expert told me that the genie is not going back into the bottle. Telehealth has really taken off in the past couple of months as so many physical offices were forced to close. And for a lot of medical visits, it's more convenient for both patients and practitioners. The big question, of course, is how much those visits are eventually going to cost and who's going to pay for it. For now, Medicare and most health insurers are paying close to what they pay for regular office visits, but there's the possibility of creating a whole new spending stream if visits are reimbursed too generously. Patients could end up on the hook for some of that. On the other hand, if reimbursement is too low, it will be hard for those who really need it most to get it, like seniors who have trouble getting to doctors' offices or people in rural areas who have trouble getting to doctors in general. So I think it's safe to say telehealth is here to stay, but we don't really know at what level.
Hmm. And a lot of people have been skipping or delaying their primary care doctor visits because of the pandemic. Now the American Academy of Family Physicians reports that 40% of primary care physician offices have laid off or furloughed staff since March. Julie, is primary care as we know it going to survive the pandemic?
A lot of policy experts are really worried about what's going to happen to primary care in general, primary care doctors in particular. Many have had to close their doors and lay off their staff. And even now that a lot of them can reopen, they still have to get that personal protective equipment. And it's not clear how willing patients are to come back yet. Even those doctors who didn't physically close their doors saw huge drop-offs in patients as they avoided medical locations for fear of catching the virus. One really big concern is that this will force a lot of those doctors to sell their practices to hospitals, creating still more consolidation in the healthcare industry that tends to drive spending even higher.
You know, some people might be surprised that hospitals are in such trouble in the midst of a pandemic where hospitals are so essential, but they really are. They're struggling, especially rural hospitals. Do you think that there's going to be a lasting change in the way that hospitals operate and manage their budgets after this?
I think it's important to remember that hospitals are really diverse. Some are these giant facilities with equally giant endowments. And as you mentioned, some are rural facilities that may only have a handful of beds. Congress provided $100 billion back in March that mostly went to hospitals that serve Medicare patients, which is most of them. But that money didn't really go out based on hospital need. So the hospitals that were struggling are still struggling. And now many have the added problems of keeping expensive units available for COVID patients, paying more for basic supplies, not just PPE, but other supplies, because the supply chain has been disrupted. And in many places, hospitals are still not open for the elective procedures, things like hip and knee replacement and cardiac care, which is where they get a lot of their revenue. So it depends on the hospital. But yes, hospitals in general are going to have to kind of reexamine how they do business.
Well, we've been talking to doctors who are fearing a wave of people coming in the months ahead to deal with procedures that they put off before. So we'll see what happens with that. What about health insurance, Julie? We've been talking about it for years, especially with Obamacare and then the attacks on Obamacare. Do you see any movement in this moment when so many people might be losing their jobs and their health insurance in the middle of this pandemic towards something like Medicare for All or expanded Medicare or anything like that?
Well, first of all, health insurance companies themselves are doing just fine through all of this. Remember that huge drop-off in routine and elective care? That's all stuff that insurance companies aren't having to reimburse for at the moment. So even the money that they're paying for COVID patients is way less than the care that's going undelivered now. But I'm waiting to see if the public broadly changes its mind about the idea that so many fellow Americans don't have any insurance coverage or have coverage that they can't afford to use because they have multi-$1,000 deductibles. Because those people who can't use a healthcare system can be a threat to everyone else when it comes to contagious disease. And I think that sort of point is coming home to a lot of people, maybe for the first time. Could this shake up the political debate about health insurance? Absolutely. Will it? Not clear yet.
One more thing I want to ask you about is the drug industry. There have been calls from Congress, from the president, to bring more drug manufacturing to America. We've discovered in this pandemic how much of the, at least components of our drugs, are made in China, for example. Is there going to be change on that front, bringing more back to the U.S.?
Well, there's already a big push, both in the administration and in Congress, to do something about the fact that so much of our drug supply, as you mentioned, it's in some cases it's the drugs themselves. In some cases, it's the ingredients that go into drugs that might be made in the United States. So much of that has moved overseas. It's moved around the world. It's not just China. But one of the things that we saw early in this pandemic is that countries very quickly closed up their borders and all of this, you know, global supply chain ground to a halt. And if you're in a pandemic and you need drugs, it's not a good thing when your drugs are not made in your country and you can't get them anymore.
That is Kaiser Health News Chief Washington Correspondent Julie Rovner. Julie, thanks as always.
Thank you, Jeremy.